Hello, Bulldogs. Thank you for tuning in to Who's Behind the Bulldog, Arvada High School's community interview podcast series. I'm your host and one of the assistant principals at Arvada, Jeremy Jensen. Each week, I'll sit down with someone from our Arvada community, be it staff, students, families, or other community members, to hear their stories. We'll discuss their histories, successes, challenges, learnings, future hopes and dreams, and much more. I hope you find some connections in their stories and hopefully are inspired to take some time to get to know them a bit better as our school year progresses. We have an amazing community here at Arvada, and I hope we can continue to strengthen that despite the challenges that await us in these unknown times. Today's guest is Roxana Villarreal. Roxana is a new counselor at Arvada High School and has recently moved here from Texas. She will have the last third of the alphabet, working with all students with last names beginning O through Z. One trick Cindy Campbell taught me to remember our counselors' alphabets are as follows. A through G, or AG, is Miss Brito. AG can mean animals, so let's hope that she likes animals. H through N, or Hen, is Miss Campbell, our resident mother hen. O through Z, or Oz, is Miss Villarreal. Oz, the great and powerful Villarreal. Note that they are also organized in alphabetical order. Brito, Campbell, Villarreal. In our interview, Roxana discusses how she was inspired by a counselor who didn't give up on her during her time in high school. She also opens up about a recent family tragedy that involves an unsolved double murder of both of her parents last fall. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Who's Behind the Bulldog. Roxana, hello, welcome to Who's Behind the Bulldog. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm looking forward to connecting with you and talking with you. We're so excited to have you on staff.
I'm very excited to be here.
Roxana, can you tell everyone what made you want to become a counselor?
Sure. I mean, well, I grew up in the Houston area, and I remember my first 2 years of high school. I am reminded a lot by the students, the student population that we serve here. I struggled. I had a really challenging time throughout my 9th, 10th grade year, and my parents didn't speak English. I was first generation. I was born here, but my parents are from Mexico, and so I never really had, like, I mean, my mom was as supportive as she could be, but I never had a lot of, regarding to homework, anyone that could help me with any of my issues when it came to classes. So I remember it was my junior year and sophomore year, and I was a young mom. I had my son my 10th grade year, and my parents are very, very traditional, so I got married, didn't really have a choice, and then I had my daughter my senior year. And right when I got to my senior year, I remember I was short like 16 credits. I remember I had one counselor, and her name was Miss McCarran, and she was very positive, and she came up with a plan, and I was able to finish with my class. I mean, it took after school classes. We in Texas, we also have, we do credit recovery during the winter break, and we also do credit recovery on the weekend. So I was able to finish because of that counselor, and that's one of the reasons I became a counselor. And interestingly enough, she was also my counselor at the community college. So I continued following through with her, and I would start college, I would drop my classes because I started working, and I would always go back, and she was always very patient. But she's the reason that I became a counselor, because she was always there to answer my questions, and that's what I want to do for these kids.
So. Oh, that's awesome. Are you still connected with her?
Yes. Yes, she's retired. She does part-time counseling at one of the school districts in Houston, and she also does part-time counseling at the community colleges, but I still talk to her till this day. So,
how has her approach influenced you?
That no matter what my attendance was, how many times I would drop my classes, or no matter what my situation was, she never gave up on me. She always had a plan, and she was always there willing to help me. I remember going to the community college. I mean, it took me 10 years to get my first bachelor's, but I remember I would sign up for classes, and she would be the only one that would override them because all the other counselors only wanted me to take two because I kept dropping classes. And she would always, she always believed in me. So, and I was able to finish, and she was very, very happy because I ended up getting my first teaching job in the same district where she was at. So she never, regardless of what my past was, she never, judged me or stopped believing in me. So,
yeah.
That's why.
What did you teach before you became a counselor?
Spanish. Oh, nice. I was a Spanish teacher for the past 11, 12 years.
Awesome.
So.
We've got two amazing Spanish teachers here. Have you met Miss De La Cerda and Miss Castorena yet?
Briefly, I believe I met them the other day, and I love Spanish. Like I studied abroad in Mexico and in Spain, so I love Spanish. I taught AP for years, the literature and the language part. So I look forward to working with them. So
that's awesome. Rexana, tell us about what led you to Arvada in Colorado, because you said you grew up in Houston and you've worked in Houston for a long time.
So yes, so I lived in Houston all my life. So when I pretty in 2009, 2008, I started teaching, and when I finished my bachelor's, I realized that it wasn't that bad to actually finish a degree. You just had to put your mind into it. So I knew I wanted to do a master's. I didn't know in what. So I remember that I just looked at, I really liked Spanish. I fell in love with the Spanish language. So I looked into graduate programs, and most of the graduate programs in Houston, you have to attend them after school. And many times I was exhausted after teaching all day. So I found a program that UNC and Greeley offered in Spanish. So I decided to pursue it. It's designed for Spanish teachers, and you do the master's over 3 summers. So I was able to study abroad in Spain, but then shortly afterwards, I think it was great. Like I learned a lot, but I realized there wasn't a lot I could do with it unless I taught part-time. So I started coming to Colorado, and I fell in love with Colorado. Who doesn't want to live here? So I would come all the time. I would come spring break, Christmas with my parents and my kids. I just loved Colorado. So I moved out here back in 2016. I was here for a couple of years. I waited until my kids graduated high school. And then I realized that it was just really hard having still my kids back home because I didn't want to live here full time. Finally in 2018, it was just, I was always going back to Houston, and I was far from my kids, and it was just really difficult for me. So I moved back to Houston, and I became a school counselor, and I was working as a school counselor in the Dallas area. And unfortunately, my parents were shot in a drive-by shooting the end of last September. And at that point, I'm an only child, so my son was living with my parents, and autistic people always have their people, and it was my parents. And my daughter had just been accepted into CU Boulder, and she's a junior, but she was able to get a full scholarship. So at that point when my parents were killed, I had to make a decision. Either I was going to go back to Houston or Boulder. And back in 2017, when I worked at Westminster High School, I met a former Spanish teacher from Arvada High School that worked here for years. And when I worked with her at Westminster High School, she would always speak great things about Arvada. She would always say that she loved the staff, she loved the people, the culture, the environment. And I have not met one person that didn't like it here. And I also, throughout my years in 2017, I also met one of your ESL teachers. And he seemed very, and your French teacher. Everyone I met that had worked here or was working here was always saying positive things about the campus, the school, the staff, the kids. So, and that's pretty much what brought me to Arvada.
Well, sounds like it was just kind of meant to be.
Yes.
I'm so sorry to hear about your parents, and I understand that like that's still a very much unsolved mystery right now. How's that been affecting you and your family? Like, what is what's going on right now with it?
The case is still not solved. There was a press conference back in March. And because it's an open homicide, I think that because my family, friends, we don't have the closure. So that's what makes it hard. It's affecting us, tremendously. It was very hard for me probably, and that's why I didn't work for a few months, because it was very hard for me just to be able to just live with such a, I mean, such a reality, such an evil reality. I mean, we're trying our best to go to move forward, and my ex-husband, which is the father of my two kids, who was also shot but survived, he was the only survivor. He has PTSD, so we kind of just we don't ask him much about it. I mean, I don't even have the heart to ask him anything about it, any details. And so my kids, I mean, they were my parents, but I mean, my kids, all they have is me. And if, I mean, if I were to break down just how I feel and just deal with it, I mean, I am still dealing with it. But if, I mean, what is my daughter going to do? I mean, both of my kids are looking at me to be the person to move forward with them. And I also think of my parents. I know that I mean, my kids, my parents loved me, but my parents adored my kids. I mean, especially my son and my daughter too, but my son mainly, because, you know, I mean, raising an autistic child and just taking care of an autistic child is not for everyone, and it's not easy. And I'm very blessed that my aunt is taking care of my son, and it's not because I can't or the dad can't, but it's just my son, that's the hardest thing for me. My son wants to be with something familiar. So he's in a house where there's always people around. So my aunt lives about, and that's what's hard for me. My son lives 2 blocks from where my parents were taken, and you know, every day, you know, I call my son several times, and but that's where he wants to be. So that's hard for me, knowing that my son is over there, and I know he's in great hands, but just not being there. And I mean, I have felt bad because, you know, and I because he doesn't cry, because he keeps everything inside because of his autism. My daughter just kind of puts it away. I think she's holding everything in, so I'm trying to get her through therapy. And I've gone through therapy too. I think I'm in the part, it'll be a year, September 25th. I'm at the part where I'm starting to learn to live with it. But I mean, I know it's going to be a long process. I mean, years. Earlier this year, I did meet someone that had a similar situation in Missouri. Both of her parents, and she was an only child. And you know, I've reached out to people like her, and they said it takes years to be able to not, I mean, I'll never, my life will never be the same, but to be able to, you know, just see some kind of like happiness or, you know, closure. But I'm hoping that the case is solved, like hopefully in the next year.
And there's just absolutely no idea of what happened, or there's no motivation at all. It's just a completely random event.
As far as we know, yes, because it's all open homicide, they didn't really tell us much. When it first happened, which was September, I mean, in the state of Texas, I believe they have 48 hours to question whoever they want. I mean, for like 2, 3 months, I mean, we weren't suspects, my kids and I, but they were taking a close look at my kids, my boyfriend, my family. I mean, everyone was being investigated because my parents, I mean, they lived in that area for 30 years. I mean, my parents, I mean, honestly, if someone wanted to do anything to my parents lived in one house and my ex-husband lives down the street. I mean, my parents were always out at 1 a.m. walking the dogs. I mean, all my neighbors, I mean, everyone knew everyone in the neighborhood. So there's no reason why someone would kill an elderly couple just retired outside their home. So there's no closure, and my family still lives there. I mean, my neighbors came to me and shared that that some of the people that live around my parents, they're even afraid to leave their house at 3, 4 a.m. because that's never, I mean, it's never really happened. Like police shared with me, it's never really happened because it's usually, you know, criminals killing criminals versus just an innocent elderly couple. So.
Well, I am. Sorry for the interruption. Just a little bit of this audio was lost during this part of the recording. We tried to pick up where we left off. Kind of switching gears a little bit here, Roxana, like maybe talking about a little bit lighter of a topic. What are some of the things that you're most proud of in your teaching career and counseling career?
Sure. I mean, everything I've accomplished, I mean, I had a counselor that helped me out, like was very supportive, but everything I've done myself. And that was one of the things that my parents were mostly proud of, especially my mom. My dad was harder on me, but I think just, I did two masters at the same time. I think that's what surprises a lot of people. I did my master's in Spanish and my school counseling at the same time. I graduated within a year and a half of both. And and I'm still taking courses. I'm not sure if I want to do the LPC. I've completed the classes, and I'm doing some special ed courses right now. So I don't. I like to learn, and I think that's pretty much it. I mean, everything I've done myself. I've always worked two jobs to get where I am, and that's one of the things I try to push towards my kids, my daughter especially.
That's
So,
awesome. What a drive. What is the
yeah,
LPC?
a licensed professional counselor.
I learn something new every day. When you're thinking about like how you best engage students, especially those students that are, maybe the hardest to engage, what are some things that you feel or that you kind of do to kind of like bring them around and point them in the right direction and support them?
I think you have to get to know the students, and I also believe that sometimes, I mean, obviously staying professional, but I believe that sometimes we can share some of the struggles that we've had, because a lot of times students see us as, we're sitting behind a desk and we have our degrees, and students think that, we really haven't struggled, or that we just had it much easier than them. And a lot of times students don't realize that, just students. And when I mean, it's worked for me teaching. Like, that's how, I mean, when I've taught my years and I told my students, I was right there. And just like the other day, I was in a meeting with a student and I shared a little bit. I said, I was there and I was able to do it, so you can do it as well. But I think just letting them know that we're people and that we've, some of us have also had to struggle. So I think making it personable with them and letting them know that where they're at, I think that goes a long way with the kids.
Absolutely. It kind of goes into the next question and kind of what are your thoughts on how we can do better at being equitable for all of the kids out there so that everybody has equal access to opportunities?
Sure. I mean, we need to realize like where the gaps are, like where they are. And look for alternatives and solutions for the kids. I mean, let them know like that there's more than one way to do it. Give them more options than one, and just, I mean, consistently, contacting the kids and allow, just giving them more opportunities than one, giving them more options than one. I mean, an example is if a student may not finish for whichever reason, I mean, offer other options, whether other schools.
Roxana, what are you excited about for this coming year being at Arvada?
I want to work with all the students, but I want to help be the resource for the students for even when they graduate high school and afterwards. I had a call today of a student, for example, a student that told me, they shared with me that no one had really told her anything about colleges, so she has like no idea. And I'm thinking, no, that is crazy. Like, I mean, this student is in 12th grade, so I want to be the person that they know that they can come to regarding careers. And I've always been like really honest and realistic. So I also, when students come and plans with me, I give them the options. I give them, the how long it'll take, the money and the options for all the students, because a lot of times students need to see it. And I also like to share the students like what's going to be in demand, especially with COVID. Like what jobs will always be there, because that this taught us a lot going through COVID. I mean, a lot of jobs were outsourced. So a lot of times I like to share that with students too. We want to look at there's always going to be need in medical, food, and education. And I mean, COVID is a great way so students could actually see, like, if something, I mean, it could come back if we could get another type of virus. And I mean, it's a good planning future for the future for kids. So I'm excited to be able to be a resource for the kids and someone they can come to for answers. So.
That's really great. I think our kids are going to be really lucky to have an opportunity to learn from you and to work with you. So
Thanks.
that's fantastic. Professional goals that you have right now in the works, either short term or long term?
Sure. So I want to retire in education. I'm thinking of actually, I've completed my licensed professional counselor. I eventually want to take my test. That's all I'm lacking. But I have this dream that when I retire, I want to work as a psych nurse. Like I want to work either oncology or psychiatric, and I want to do that at like 65. And
Nice.
I want to work 3 days a week and still help people from another perspective. Still serve, I mean, still be a public servant, but from a different point. So that's my dream, my goal. But counseling, I think I'll stay. And I mean, things could change. I mean, if for some reason my job was not available in the next years, I mean, I would go back to teaching. I love teaching, so I would go back to, and I love high school, not middle school or elementary. My heart's in high school, so. But those are my dreams, my goals.
That's really
So.
great. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks.
What would you consider to be your best failure?
My best player, professionally and personally. Okay, so personally, I should have been stricter with my kids and not given them everything, because I didn't have a lot growing up, and I gave everything to my kids, and now I'm paying the price with my daughter. But professionally, I think I should have gone. I should have finished my degree a lot sooner. But I wish I would have probably not done Spanish, like as a second master's. I wish I would have done something else, either school psychologist or another field. But, and also, I wish I would have moved to Colorado a long time ago and I would have started my career here. I mean, I have 9 years, 10 years, 10 years in Texas as an educator. And while it was great, it's two different systems. And, sometimes I just have to go back and forth of my way of thinking. And I think that, but other than that, I feel where I fail, I learn. So, I'm always learning. So,
Absolutely. So you like Colorado a lot better than Texas?
definitely,
I
definitely. I mean, just everything. I mean, he's, I mean, just everything is so different.
haven't spent a lot
Everything.
of time in Texas. What's it like?
Very conservative. Very conservative. Very much, very structured. But sometimes too structured, kids, when I was a counselor, kids graduated and have no idea, like, and not everywhere, but just it's very, very structured, and it's very, I mean, the graduation plans. I mean, we have state exams, which I know we have capstone here, but we lose a lot of students because of those state exams, because there's, the minimum plan, the recommended. And I mean, while they have great things, I think Colorado has, I mean, from what I've seen, because I've been a counselor in both states, I feel that Colorado has a lot more options as far as to graduate and, time frame, especially now with COVID, I think that'll change. But I think Colorado, I mean, even our requirements to graduate are lower than Texas. So I think it's 26 in Texas, here it's 23. So.
Interesting. Got one more question for
Sure.
you, and that's ending on your big advice. What big advice do you have for other people?
I mean, I think everyone should. I mean, we. It's never too. It's never. We're never too old to learn or to return back to school or to find what makes us happy. I mean, after what happened to my parents and just what I've lived through in the past year, it changed me as a person. But I realize that life is so short, and I think we should follow our dreams, follow our happiness. I mean, if we're not happy in whether it's our job, a relationship, or just life, I mean. It's our life. We have our full control to change that. So that would be my advice to everyone, to follow your happiness.
Thank you so much for your time here today. I'm so looking forward to getting to know you more and working with you this year.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you all for tuning in to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to take a minute to reach out to today's guest and make a personal connection. Until next time, this has been Jeremy Jensen with Who's Behind the Bulldog.